Welcome to Season 5 of the Prosthetics and Orthotics Podcast with Joris Peels and Brent Wright. We're bringing in industry experts, patients, vendors, and thought leaders to share their stories, insights, and visions for the future. Whether you're a clinician, a researcher, a vendor, or someone with a personal interest in the field, we have something for you. Join us as we delve into how advancements in personalized healthcare and 3D printing are revolutionizing the industry and changing the way we approach the design, production, and delivery of prosthetic and orthotic devices.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joris Peels, and this is another edition of the Orthotics and Prosthetics Podcast with Brent Wright. How are you doing, Brent?
Hey, I'm doing well, Joris. Kind of a rainy weekend. I was actually, yesterday, I was walking because I had to get my car fixed. And I was walking and somebody came up to me right when we were crossing the crosswalk. I said, man, I didn't plan on the rain. He goes, oh, this weather's great. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm from Seattle, so this is perfect. And I thought that was, he's like, it's always, yeah, he's like, it reminds me of home. Cold, wet, rainy.
here rained too, but it hadn't rained here since October. So everybody thought that was a very good idea. So of course, we have to thank our sponsors. So, yeah, Brent, who's sponsoring us? Do you know?
I do know, yes. Really excited about Advanced 3D being our title sponsor for this whole season, season 5. And Advanced 3D is special to me because it's myself along with Tyler and Paul that started this contract manufacturer specifically for O&P. Wanting to do some complex design things for designs that people can't just do or do with software programs that are out there. We've had some very interesting cases, and I can't express to you like just some of the neat feedback that we've been getting on the life change of these devices that really are unique one-offs.
Okay, that's really cool. So you say they're trustworthy people? Are these good people, Brent?
Oh, man. Yes. You know, one thing, it's interesting because we're in a kind of a startup mode, right? And so We try to communicate, sometimes over-communicate, and we've got a couple people, you know, doing multiple hats. And so we've got to get the billing right and the emails right and tracking numbers And it's definitely a learning experience, but people have given us a lot of grace. We always get the product out on time. It's that back end stuff that is is sometimes the adventure.
Okay. And do you want me to upload like one thing to you? Like if I just have one check socket thing I want to try out, or is it more like an ongoing relationship? What are you guys looking for?
You know, our biggest thing is, yeah, we could do the one check socket sort of thing, but we really want to empower you to do check sockets in-house. It's going to allow you to really control your costs. What we want to be able to do is once you fit that check socket and you want to include a very unique feature in a prosthesis or a lattice style TPU flexible inner, something that you couldn't do traditionally, and there's really not a lot of other people out there that can do it. Those are the types of projects that we want to take on. And then we'd like to build a relationship with you from there on out. So that's really the goal. We don't want to be a one and done, but we do want to show what additive manufacturing can do for the clinicians and for their patients.
All right, Brent, thanks for sponsoring us. You said you were excited about our next guest on the show. Who do we have today?
Man, I'm really excited to have Jimmy Capper on the show today. He's the CEO of Click Medical. And we have talked about Click multiple times on this show. And I know you love the adjustability and such that comes along with that. So he's kind of the one that brought it to the orthotic and prosthetic market. And so I'm excited to kind of hear his journey, what he sees now, past, present, and future. And then maybe we'll dive into some other rabbit holes like we usually do.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, welcome to the show, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And so first off, like, well, how did you get involved in O&P then?
So my background for O&P is an interesting one. I worked at the company Boa Technology for 13 years. During that time, you know, really my job was to develop new markets and discover, you know, good applications for reels and laces that wind things up and change the fit. Within that process, I opened up a medical applications business unit, basically. And that's where I really discovered O&P. In that time, I then ran into my co-founder, Joe Mahon. And Joe called me one day after having a real stroke of inspiration, said, "Oh my gosh, there's a way that we could really change the way that prosthetic sockets fit and are adjustable to people over time." And from that conversation forward, I entered into the O&P field and have dedicated, you know, a huge amount of my life and time and energy and inspiration to seeing how we might be able to really impact and change the way that both orthotics and prosthetics fit patients.
Okay, so first of all, like Click Medical, just in case somebody missed you guys, does no idea what you people are, like what does it do? How does the device actually work?
Yeah, so the sole goal of Click really is to provide components that create adjustable designs within an orthosis or a prosthesis. Now, an adjustable design is basically a reel that tensions or detensions a lace, and that lace travels through or on the device itself to then move different, whether it's a panel or to compress a gap that's between two edges, or to close or compress a door. Those are the kinds of designs that we can integrate into a prosthesis or an orthosis. And what that then does is it enables the volume of that device to change over time. So as a limb increases in volume, say, you can expand the device. As a limb decreases in volume throughout the day, or activity increases and you want more stability, or you want to be able to really sense your prosthesis better, then you can compress the system. And that allows then for the device to really meet the needs of the user, as well as change with the limb and the activities that the user is going through.
Okay. Well, and does that mean that I can adjust it like on the fly whenever I want, or really easily? Like an adjustment is something I do with one hand, or?
Exactly. That's a great question. You know, most adjustments that people are adjusting prosthetics, especially every day, right? A patient has an issue. They've tried their best to make the socket work with different layers of socks or materials, in which they have to stop their activity, go to the bathroom, undress, you know, try out a various combination of socks, and then get back to their business. Our product is very different, and that one of the key differentiating elements is that you literally can reach down to your device, turn a dial, and you can do that through clothing or directly, depending on what you're wearing that day. And what that does then is very quickly, in seconds, you can change the volume or the fit of your device, which then enables you to be able to stay with your activity, keep doing what you're doing, change things real time. And that has proven to be a real benefit for users.
Okay. But do you sell to end users, or do you sell to prosthetists, or do you sell to the device makers, or kind of all of the above?
Great question. So our business is to sell our component kits to prosthetists and to orthotists. Those prosthetists and orthotists then see a patient, they design a solution. It's all for custom-made goods. And they design that solution and have it fabricated into the device. And then they deliver the device. So Click really is just an enabler of technology. We provide these kits that really empower the practitioner to design something that works beautifully for that patient. And then it's their job to integrate it into the custom-made device.
Oh, okay. And for you, who are you developing it for? Is it just a patient you have in mind, or you know, there seems to be value as well if I'm a device maker or an orthotist as well, that I, you know, how do you kind of like sell to different groups of people with the same product?
So, you know, luckily it's an interesting business scenario for us, right? Our most of our business, about 75% of our business, is really delivered within prosthetic devices. That's where we started. That's where we have some really great solutions that are easy to integrate. So those solutions have really become kind of a norm for many prosthetists. Those prosthetists tend also to be orthotists. And so when they see the value that patient adjustability can bring, then they start getting pretty inspired and interested in how they might be able to bring the same kind of functionality into orthotics as well. So we're seeing a lot of crossover between the use of our reels and laces and the kits that they come in from prosthetics and then moving into various orthotic devices. So it's kind of an interesting organic process. One has to do a little bit of training, and we've got an education module that's really great for them to learn about how to do this. And then there's some real creativity that comes in to saying, hey, I've got a particular problem for a patient. I'd really like to solve it. Maybe having this adjustable functionality could really help solve the problem that they're trying to solve. Whether it's a fit issue, whether it's a volume issue, whether it's a donning and doffing thing, we can really help in so many ways to create devices that just function so beautifully for the end user.
And then there's this tempting thing in the back of my head going, wait a minute, we could replace all the laces in the world for ski boots and rollerblades and shoes. And we could just, you know, there's a much bigger markets out there for this. Or are you really focused on this prosthetics orthotic space?
Yeah, that's a great realization. So, you know, my career really was centered around, I worked for BOA Technology for 13 years, and their core business is to create that same kind of closure and adjustability, but they do it, you know, 96% of what they do in their business is to close footwear, whether it's a snowboard boot or ski boot or a tennis shoe or a golf shoe, you name it. Mostly performance oriented and for really able-bodied individuals who are out doing sporting activities. Where I saw an opportunity was, hey, there's a whole population here in the world that is really suffering from a loss of mobility, a loss of empowerment, and the ability to, you know, manage their own devices so that they can function well and they can get their mobility back. And so we built Click Medical specifically targeted at helping those people. So there's a big opportunity for closing things. That's great. I did that for many years. But Click is centered specifically on helping people with mobility issues, with mobility challenges, and who are using different devices, medical devices, to help them do that. We're helping them do that in an even better way.
But then you're limiting your market to this market that is very fragmented. People are all over the place. The shops are really small. And then there's these huge, ginormous players on the one hand. You know, is that difficult to do business in the space? We've heard the people that it's very difficult here to market and find a market in this market.
I mean, I can't disagree with you. It is hard. It's hard because the market is small. You're right. There's a huge amount of fragmentation. Another big barrier is that people are pretty set in their ways, right? They learned how to build devices and to modify devices in school, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And the change can be difficult. That said, what we have found is that, you know, there's some products that are just neat and they do things well and people like to buy them. But there's some products that are really transformational. And what we have found is that this product, our set of products, really are transformational. You know, even if it's just helping somebody get up and play with their grandchild for an afternoon or be able to walk out and get the mail, something happens for them. And what we've really been finding, even in data that we've been collecting across studies that we've been conducting, is that instead of people having to do things like change socks, accommodate for volume change, accommodate for an ill-fitting device, what they're reporting is that they get to do things. They get to get up and get the mail. They get to go play with their grandchild. They get to continue their activities instead of peeling off and having to manage for things. So because it's transformational and because there are a lot of amputees in the world, we have an opportunity here, if we stay focused, to really and truly help a ton of people. And that's our mission. That's our goal. And so we have crafted our business around that. We have managed for many of the challenges that we find bringing such a product into such a strange marketplace, but it's working. And in the process, we're really meeting with success, both as a company as well as in the mission of really helping these individuals.
And how do you convince like the individual orthotist or prosthetist to use it? Because you think, you know, if we would look this very in the kind of like the most strictest sense, you know, the more he spends on this device, you know, the less his profit is left to him and her, let's say. Or does it save work as well? Or the benefits, or does he really have to communicate the benefits to the patient? What's the calculation in that sense?
You know, it's a great question. And it's kind of all of those things. If I look at, you know, of course, one of the most important considerations in buying a product for anybody, right, is what's in it for them. What does this product do for them? So let's just look at the prosthetist for a moment. The prosthetist is paid for delivering a device, right? And caring for the patient post-delivery for a period of time. That's a substantial risk. And the risk really comes from the fact that that patient is constantly changing. Well, if your only tool is to provide something that is static, that doesn't change, that has to be changed and modified by you, oftentimes at your own cost, well, then it's a pretty risky scenario. You're going to deliver something to a patient and most likely, almost 100% chance, that device is going to come back to you multiple times. You're going to have to put in time, materials, energy, patient clinic visits, administration, et cetera. And it's surprisingly costly. So we can come in and say, hey, let's not only help you do the job that you do already, but let's help you do it better, because now you've got a device that is truly empowering to the actual patient. And mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, if the patient is empowered to manage some of those changes in the fit or the function of their device, well, then they're not going to need to come to you for additional services that are often hard or impossible to bill for. So this opens up not only better product that helps their patient function even better, which is a big part of their goal, but it allows them to do it in a way that is more efficient and delivers that device in a manner that keeps it from coming back time and time and time again for modifications. And that turns out, it's turned out to be quite a benefit for the prosthetist. And that's why they end up buying our product and using it, some of them, you know, 60, 70, 80% of the time, because they know it can bring that kind of value to them as a practitioner.
And is that your core sales pitch? Is that where if you would be sitting in front of my office and you'd be like, you need this because of this? Or is it just like patient happiness overall? Is that like, you know, the net promoter score of your patient, or the happier the patient, that will drive the experience for you?
I mean, I think, you know, because this is a difficult field and reimbursement is so, you know, such a driver, and we don't yet have a reimbursement code for our products, but we're close. But until that time, you know, we have to approach this in several different ways. In the end, what it really comes down to is that, you know, within this industry, practitioners are passionate about delivering great solutions to their patients. And in that passion, they're looking for, you know, the best designs, the best methodologies, the best protocols, and in the end, the best technology. They're choosing a whole set of technologies for this device from the various manufacturers of the components that make up a device. So in that overall equation, they want to do the best for their patient. And what they've now found is like, oh my gosh, we have a way to empower our users to be able to have great fit each and every day. And with that great fit, maybe they are more mobile. Maybe they have fewer comorbidities. Maybe they have fewer complications that bring them back into the office, or more, you know, more often abandon the device or simply not use it. So this is a lot of value, and that value is really important for us to help the practitioner to understand why it's good for them. But the patients, I mean, they love it, and they love it because instead of feeling disempowered, they feel empowered. They feel capable and able to make changes that they need right then and there because they need them. And now they have that opportunity. And that is where this amazing value really shows up.
Okay. And you know, if you're designing a prosthetic, how does it change? How do I know when to use this thing properly and how to like implement it?
So we do a lot of education on that front. We have a great program that's online. Comes with 30 CEUs. So the practitioners can come onto our site when they become interested in our product, and they can learn about RevoFit, which is a great solution for creating socket fit. RevoLock, which is a great adjustable solution for suspension. They can learn about RevoSurface, which is a neat new product that can be added to both prosthetics and orthotics. And in so doing, they're going to learn about the design, they're going to learn about the fabrication, they're going to learn about how to deliver and optimize the device, and how they can keep that device working really beautifully for the patient over time. With that amount of education, we then rely to a large degree on the incredible level of creativity and problem solving that clinicians within this space bring. They're touching the patient. They're feeling what they need. They're hearing the different needs of the patient. And with that, they are real craftsmen who are able to then design a device to best fit that patient. When they use Click products, they're doing the same thing. They're just adding an additional level of functionality that turns a static pad that they would normally place, say, in the pre-tibial area, into a dynamic pad that is able to change and move over time. So it's many of the same concepts, but just adding in the feature of adjustability into key areas of the device that let the socket or the orthosis do the things it needs to do, but even better.
I think that is really neat. And I know just from a selfish standpoint, I mean, you talk about, you know, yes, we don't have a code for the adjustability yet, but, you know, for East Point Prosthetics and Orthotics, just for an example, you know, we do a lot of things mobile. And so the number one call that we get is, hey, my prosthesis isn't fitting quite right, or it feels loose or what have you. And so we end up having to put a clinician into a van off to the patient's house, and either they're doing sockets or pads or what have you. And then for what we found for East Point is that when we do empower patients to have some of this adjustability, it significantly cuts down on the quote unquote, you know, calls or home visits or whatever for those types of visits. And in the end, while we're not getting quote unquote paid for the Click medical device or reimbursed, we are saving time, which is one of the things that we can truly control when we're talking about expenses to our company. So I think that's really, really a valuable aspect of this product.
That's well said, Brent. And it's really one of the main goals for us, right? Is that, you know, if you think about the time and energy that is spent managing for a static device, right? Whether it's the practitioner who's spending a lot of time, or whether it's the patient who has to take off from work, they have to drive their car to a clinic, they have to make an appointment and spend time there. The number of hours that are spent managing for the fact that the most of the devices that are delivered are static and don't change. Holy cow, it's incredibly inefficient. So might we be able to really save people time, save tons of hassle, and more importantly, like empower them to like make change that they need and want right now in the amount that they need right now. And then you're able to save huge amounts of hassle, frustration, complications, et cetera.
Do you have any kind of data or information about how many times people change these things per day, or how many times they change them once they have a Click device or something like that?
Yeah, you know, actually, we just finished a really big beta test. And the beta test was designed to test our brand new reel that we brought to market. That reel is, we are making ourselves rather than using the reels from BOA Technology. BOA's reels were great, but you know, they're built for snowboarding. They're made out of plastic. They really weren't designed to be used every day. And so we built the Click Reel, which is a really cool new device that is mostly made out of metal. It's very strong. It's specifically designed to work for O&P. So we did a beta test on it, and the beta test went great. But what's so awesome is that as we've been collating all of the feedback, this is a 13-month test across 29 practitioners and 55 different patients. The data that has come back has been stunning. And it's been stunning in that what we've found is that you know, there's a little bit of a learning curve for patients to try to understand, you know, how to use and when to use the adjustable element of their device. But what we found is that, holy cow, once they start to get it, after, you know, after about 30 to 45 days, the level of mobility, the level of happiness, the level of satisfaction with their device goes through the roof. And it's born out of the fact that they're able to make that adjustment throughout the day, whether it's expansion or whether it's compression. They have a device that works with them. So what we find in terms of adjustability throughout the day is that in the morning, their limbs tend to be larger. So great, expand the socket. Allow yourself to really get into it easily. Allow your limb to get positioned properly within that device from the very beginning. And then as, you know, let's say as you head off to work, you can tighten that device down as you're walking, you're moving, you're heading to the office. But as maybe if you're at work or, you know, you've arrived at a location, then you have an opportunity to expand again and let that limb enjoy a little bit of freedom of movement and lack of compression. It's much healthier for the limb and the circulation within the limb to have that. But then as they get up again, maybe they need some more stability. Maybe they're going to be more active and going to walk a ways. And they want that stability, so they adjust again. Over time, they may find that their limb then starts to shrink and the volume changes within the overall equation of the limb within the socket. No problem. They reach down, dial a couple more clicks, and now they've got that stability or the correct volume again. And then as they get home, they're going to probably decrease their activity and they can expand their socket again. Now they've got that freedom for their limb again, better health, better comfort, et cetera. So it's a daily thing for them to adjust the fit of their device to their body and to their activities. We find, you know, 8, 10, 12, 20 different adjustments a day is not uncommon. And imagine, you know, if you were to do something similar in the static socket, you either have to do that with socks or you have to just ignore the need for the adjustment or you have to go to a practitioner to get help. Instead, with our product, you literally just reach down and turn the dial. It's that simple.
And that sounds really interesting. And, okay, so you've gone a little bit into what drives these changes in volume and comfort and like that. But generally, what's the mechanism at work here, and do patients really understand this well? Or,
well, that's a great question too. We get that question a lot, and they say, "Well, I'm not sure I can trust my patient to make these adjustments." Well, number one, because our product is designed into a custom designed device, the prosthetist has a lot of control over how much adjustability can be delivered. So you can do that very easily. If you want more adjustment, you can make thicker pads on a panel, or you can make a wider gap that a patient can close. But if you're worried about that, you have a patient, say, that has some limb sensitivity issues or neuropathy, no problem. You can make the pads on the panel thinner and just give them less total adjustability. You could make the gap that you're closing smaller. So you have a lot of ability to change that. But here's the real thing on the patient side. Right now, we're asking patients to, think of a vacuum socket. Not only do you need to know and understand whether your vacuum is functioning, but you need to then manage your volume with socks. So you have both equations of complicated combinations of socks to make the right, to try to get to the right overall volume, which is always done globally. And you have to then figure out whether your vacuum system is working. It's very complicated. Our product, on the other hand, literally you reach down and turn right to tighten, left to loosen. That's it. And so we're able to teach patients how to do this. And, you know, most patients can see or feel the socket or the orthosis changing. And so they have a lot of then control of like, oh, that's a little bit too much. That's a little bit not quite enough. And they have an interface, a dial that they literally can just grab and turn forwards or backwards to tighten or loosen. And now they really have an opportunity to see the change, to feel the change, to experience the difference in stability. These are things that we're looking for in all of the products, the shoes we put on, the chair we sit down in, right? These are things that we're constantly adjusting for every day. So it comes really naturally to the patient to be able to simply turn a dial and affect that change.
Okay, that's really cool. And you know, does it vary from patient to patient how much they need this or use this? Do you have a lot of information about maybe I only need to adjust it twice a day and Brent wants to adjust it 40 times a day. Is there a bit of variance there or not really? Or
oh yeah, tons of variance. Let's just look at someone who has a lot of volume change within their socket overnight. Their primary concern is going to be twofold. One is getting the socket on in the morning, and two is managing for stability over the day that as their limb shrinks. Well, that patient's going to, number one, they're going to use it in the morning, and they're going to compress throughout the day, a little bit tighter, a little bit tighter, a little bit tighter in order to accommodate for that volume loss. Other patients might simply need access. So think about a patient with a bulbous distal end, right? They need access to get their limb into the device. Well, if they can open the device with a door design, they can really open it up, slip their limb into the device, close it, and now the job is basically done. They may change the compression or the fit of that socket a little bit throughout the day, but maybe once or twice. So those different scenarios can lend to very different use patterns for the individual. They might use it a little, they might use it a lot, but boy, they can use it. That's the point. Rather than having to fight and accommodate for the problems that are typical of a static device.
Okay. And what does the future look like to you? I mean, right now it's really logical. You've got a device for tightening stuff, or loosening stuff. You've got one that you can retrofit to other existing things. And now you've got this new wheel. So what's next for you guys?
Well, really our big push right now is kind of twofold. It's threefold. One is looking for reimbursement. And we are very close to that. We're moving down that road as we speak. We'll be submitting into CMS come July 1st. And we've got a really compelling case. And we have a lot of high hopes that we can achieve the goal of some reimbursement. Now, what that would bring is an opportunity for practitioners not only to deliver great devices and do it more efficiently, but then they can be paid for it. So that brings up then our next big challenge, which is making sure that as that happens, people are well educated, they know what to do, they're meeting with success, and they're finding a great way to build these devices. And so in that building, there's then maybe the third big element for us is how can we really help facilitate the construction of great adjustable devices within the industry? Some of that is using traditional techniques like lamination, but some of that is say, hey, let's really look into how devices might be able to be built with 3D printing. The 3D printing space is really interesting to us because a 3D printed device is, if it doesn't have adjustability, is also static and suffers from many of the same problems as a laminated device. But if we can integrate adjustable components and adjustable designs into those 3D devices, holy cow, the power of what is possible really starts to emerge. And with a 3D printing element, what's really neat is that you could more accurately design in designs that function in very particular ways. So, maybe we could, have a couple of different designs that are easy to upload into the CAD. They can be changed to the size and the shape of the limb, but they would retain the design parameters that make them work really, really well. And maybe even bring additional functionality to a device that we haven't been able to do with the standard and traditional methods of construction. So that's a pretty exciting new horizon for us. And it's one that, we need a lot of help with. And we're excited to open up into, great partnerships and explorations to see what could we do to bring adjustability within the 3D printed space that can make these products and these opportunities even more valuable for the patients and practitioners who use them.
Well, that sounds absolutely great, Jimmy. Thank you so much for being here tonight. This is really good.
Well, thanks for having me. I hope you can hear in my voice the passion that we have here at Click. It's just a simple idea, but it's one that it just turns out works so darn well and does so many great things for practitioners and their practice as well as the patients. So we get pretty excited about talking about it and then learning more and more as we go on how we might be able to use this technology to really affect so many great changes in the space.
All right. Thank you so much. And Brent, thanks for being here as well today.
Oh man, this was great. And thank you, Jimmy, for sharing that passion. I think it's neat, you have the passion for the adjustability and such, but it really matches some of the passion and creativity that comes along with the many great clinicians that are in this field. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do in the 3D printing space, because I'm sure that will simplify, I say that in quotes and a little bit smiling, the process, because it's not a simple process to do. But I'm really excited for this next frontier, and congratulations on getting this new reel out as well, one that you have full control over. I'm really excited about seeing that go.
Well, thank you. Let's just the secret sauce here is great collaboration and collaborative design and helping solve problems together. We here at Click love doing that and are resourced to be able to really help practitioners and patients too. So let's just keep after it and see what we can create to really make a big difference.
All right. Sounds wonderful. Thank you, Jimmy, for being here today. And now we're going to go to our news section, O&P Newsflash. So this section is sponsored by someone. And who are these people, Brent?
Yeah, this section is sponsored by JustPoto. JustPoto is a company just now coming into the U.S. They're based out of Belgium, and they have some really amazing design software. And right now, they're mostly in the foot orthosis market. But I'm telling you what, I always say the engine, what drives these changes in this automation is absolutely the correct engine. And I'm really excited to see where they go, not only for foot orthoses, but also for ankle foot orthoses, knee ankle foot orthoses, and then eventually into the prosthetic realm. It's a super powerful program, and I highly suggest people check it out.
So is this kind of like a one-click kind of thing, or is it more like, what is this? Is it like a lot of manual options, or is it more of a wizard type of approach to making orthotics? How would you class this?
So it's not a one click, but what it is it allows clinicians to quickly do the things that they need to do. So get the alignment of a foot correct, alignment to the foot, to the shank or to the calf, calcaneal alignment correct, toe in, toe out, make some modifications to bony prominences. And then from there, it can be a one click thing where it actually creates the whole prosthesis or orthosis for you. So it can create the calf shell and the foot shell or put in the articulated joints for making a brace. So in that sense, it's definitely worth looking at. It saves a ton of time. And the neat thing is that it's an easy enough program for clinicians to learn. And so they can go as far or not as they want. So they can go just to the modification side, send that off, and we can finish the modifications to actually create the brace or the foot orthosis. So I'm really excited about that. It took my time for some of these devices from hour and 15 minutes to probably less than 10 minutes. So it's a big time saver.
Okay. That sounds really good, dude. That sounds really good. Okay. Moving right along to the news itself. So what's the news? You were the one that found the news today, and what were you interested in?
Well, I don't know that I'm interested in it, but it's a little depressing, so I apologize in advance. So Midwestern University, I was really excited to see where this prosthetic and orthotic program was going. They were actually supposed to have a cohort of students coming in August. They had the staff, they had the facility. And for some reason, the plug got pulled. And I don't understand why, but that's a big time bummer. I mean, it was only going to be one of 15 programs nationwide. It was going to be another one on the West Coast in Arizona. And the staff was going to be amazing. You had Kristen Carnahan and Dr. Chris Vorka. And super passionate people. And I don't know why the plug got pulled. And it's just a reminder about how we talk about this field as a niche field. These programs are hard to start, get off the ground, and then also fund. And I really think that that's probably part of the reason why this program had its plug pulled.
Okay. But do you think it's, is this a one-off thing? Is it just a timing for them, or is it indicative that like this whole program thing is difficult for them to do? Do you think it's a bad sign, or is it like a one-off?
Man, I don't know that it's a one-off. I mean, these programs don't grow on trees. I mean, now we're at 14 programs nationwide. So we're literally only graduating a couple hundred people a year. You know, you think of that compared to doctors, physical therapists, or what have you, you can see why there's going to be such a need for prosthetist orthotists in the future, especially with this aging population. So I don't know why. I hope there's lessons to be learned here for starting these programs. You do need a lot of funding, grants, whatever. You've got to have a solid team. And I think the biggest thing is you have to have administration that's 100% behind you. And in this case, with Midwestern University, it does not appear that was the case and potentially could have been the demise.
Okay. Well, I hope that, so I hope it's a one-off, and I hope it's going to be something that we're going to see a lot more growth and a lot more new people joining the industry, and a much more buoyant future going forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing. And it's a time for us to kind of come together as a field, look internally and say, how are we going to train this next generation? And let's find ways to do that.
Okay. All right. Good sentiment there. And thank you for GESPODO, GESPODO.com for sponsoring this news section. And thank you for listening.